Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Blake Richard, and Blake and his son Tay have a farm that's called Wild Rose Farm. Blake, how did you come up with the name Wild Rose Farm?
Well, mainly because my cat is named Rose, and we didn't name the farm. We went many years without a name, and we finally named it, about 6 or 7 years ago, I guess. And it's after my cat, who's about 18 years old now, and she lives wild on the farm,
uh-huh.
And her name is Rose.
Oh, great.
And we also have wild roses all around the farm that are just growing on the fence lines, so...
Nice.
That's why.
Now, did you have a background in farming before you started your farm here locally?
No. I, as a kid, I always wanted to farm and knew I would someday be involved in some way. I didn't know in what way. I started working for Dennis Potter in the mid-'80s out in Blue Lake. And I really liked him and liked working for him. And so I evolved into that kind of farming, the small-scale vegetable farming. As a kid, I always kind of envisioned a farmer more as, bigger acreage and tractor type stuff. But because this area doesn't really have that kind of farming, that's the kind of farming I evolved into living around here.
Uh-huh. And how did your son, Tay, get involved in the farm?
Oh, well, he's just grown up there, so of course he's just always been involved with it. And at this point, he's doing that while he figures out what to do next.
Great. And you're out in Blue Lake, beautiful, sunny Blue Lake.
Yeah, we rent land on West End Road. We rent the Kelly Ranch out there. We're also using land down in Ferndale. We're renting land down there as well. So we're in both locations. We're split, which is very awkward.
I'll bet. A lot of commuting.
Yeah, a real headache.
So what do you grow different things in the different locations?
Not always. We switch them back and forth. Having the bigger land base allows us to rotate more and to be flexible with different soil types and different climate. We find things grow quicker in the spring down in Ferndale, actually, than in Blue Lake because the soil warms up quicker down there. It's not as heavy.
Okay.
And... we find that things in Blue Lake stop growing quicker in the fall. So it's better for the quinoa that we're doing out in Blue Lake because it finishes up earlier with a little warmer during the summer.
Okay. So you're growing quinoa, which is a new crop for you, but what have been your traditional crops that you've grown in the past?
Well, we just grow what we have, contracts to grow in the area. We grow cooking greens, kales, chards, collard greens, mustard greens. And we grow spinach, cilantro, and beets. And those are the things we sell to the stores around here. Co-op, Wildberries, Eureka Natural Foods, and the Raise chain.
And how do contracts work? Do they commit to a certain amount of produce at the beginning of the year?
Well, the only people that really do a contract type of arrangement around here as far as the stores is the co-op. And they do a real formal, neat thing where they meet with you every winter. And they specifically write out, what you're supposed to be growing for them and the dates you're supposed to grow it for them. And they even give you a printout of last year's time period that you offered those things so that you can see how much you came through with your, spoken intentions. And but with Wildberries and Eureka Natural Foods and everybody else, it's more just kind of a unspoken understanding that you grow those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it follows from what the co-op does. The different growers around here have those agreements with the co-op, and everybody tends to respect those same agreements at all the other stores.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, I'm not going to be trying to grow something that somebody else has the contract at the co-op with to sell the Eureka Natural Foods, because it's kind of understood that because they have it at the co-op that they'll also be doing it for Eureka Natural Foods.
Oh, okay.
So those are the things we sell to the local stores. We also, ship down to San Francisco to Veritable Vegetable, and we grow pretty much the same stuff to ship to them. We ship them primarily beets, but we also sell them kales and chards as well.
Now, what type of beets do you grow?
We grow, red, white, Chioggia, and gold. So we grow four types, but pretty much just the red and the gold are the popular ones.
Okay. I love those Chioggias, though. So those are really good. So recently you've gotten into growing quinoa, which is a new crop. It's just not grown in the United States that much.
Yeah, we've been growing it for many years on a small scale, just for ourselves to eat and to experiment with. The last 2 years, we've grown it in volumes to sell.
Uh-huh.
And next year, we're planning on growing a lot more yet. And yeah, there's only up until this year, I'm not really sure what the story is on how many people are growing it in different locations. But through last year, last summer, there was only one other farm in the United States really growing a significant amount. And they were in Colorado, White Mountain. And they've been growing it for a couple decades. They're in a higher elevation in Colorado, and that's mm-hmm. what keeps the temperatures cooler there, because that's the key thing. As of yet, they don't have varieties that'll set seed in warmer temperatures. So, you know, once it gets high 80s, 90, it's real questionable whether it's going to set seed.
It's a really beautiful plant, too.
Yeah, it's real neat looking.
Yeah, they're really colorful. It
looks a lot like lamb's quarter, the weed.
Uh-huh. So it's actually available in the stores locally.
Yeah, the four, you know, Wildberries, Eureka Natural, and the co-ops.
And as far as we know, this is the only place where you can buy domestically grown quinoa.
That could be true. In the stores, White Mountain grows a lot, and they sell to people, mail order.
And a little bit grown in Canada, too.
Well, yeah, the Canadians grew 1,000 acres this year, and they've been working on it for a few years. They have a Northern Quinoa Corporation that several growers are part of up there, and they all bring their quinoa that they grow to the Northern Quinoa Corporation. And that corporation right now is in the process of doing a lot of investment in equipment to process the quinoa. And next year, the Canadians are planning on growing 15,000 acres, 15 times more than they did this last year.
I mean, it's supposed to be something that's considered a pretty good food for people. I mean, it's got a 14% protein content. It's high in dietary fiber. It's gluten-free for people who are interested in remaining gluten-free. And there's a lot of calcium for people who are lactose intolerant. It also, I think, has all the amino acids. It's like a balanced protein. So it's kind of like one of those superfoods. Do you eat it?
Sure, we eat it.
Uh-huh. And how do you like to eat it?
I'm just pretty boring. We just boil it and eat it plain.
Uh-huh.
The type that we've made available so far is a mixed color variety, which is, you know, the white varieties that people are most familiar with are a little fluffier and softer. When you start having the colored varieties, the black or the darker colored ones, they become a little more crunchy. And some people like that and some people don't.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean. It's kind of like it pops when you chew it. Kind of like caviar.
A little crunchier.
Yeah.
But we also grew a white variety this last year.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to start selling that before too long. We just haven't finished cleaning it up yet. We mainly grew it to propagate the seed, so we'd have a lot of seed for next year to grow. But so eventually we'll have different colors, a multicolor, a white color, and a red color.
And I understand some people will sprout the seeds, like you have bean sprouts or whatever, but you have quinoa sprouts, and that it sprouts really quickly.
Yeah.
It's like the fastest, 2 to 4 hours, and it germinates.
It's amazing how quick it comes up. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure.
People can find your quinoa at the farmer's market?
Yeah, we sell it there also, and at the stores in the bulk departments. And, you know, we've had a lot of investment with trying to get our equipment working well and getting the right equipment. And so we still have a pretty high price with it. I mean, it's comparable to the out-of-the-area quinoa. But down the line, we really hope to lower our price by next year, for sure.
As you continue working on how to process this thing that's relatively new.
Well, as we get past the expense of our expenses.
Yeah, right. And relatively new in North America, I think, to be growing quinoa. So a lot of a learning curve for you guys to go through.
Definitely. Yeah.
Great. Well, this has been wonderful talking to Blake Richard from Wild Rose Farm out in Blue Lake. Blake and his son Tay own the farm and are farming lots of different greens, but also farming quinoa. Thank you so much, Blake.
Thanks.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.